you. All right, turn with me, if you would, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Last week, we looked at verses 18 and 19, which say, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives, and be not bitter against them." We looked at those two verses in light of, as he said in verse 1, if you be risen with Christ. Everything that he's saying here, he prefaced with, if you be risen with Christ. And we looked at those verses in light of what he said in verse 12. Colossians 3, verse 12, he said, "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God." Everything that is instructed to us is in light of Christ and the gospel of his salvation. Everything he has to say to us, it's in light of Christ. It's in light of the gospel of his salvation. If you look back just a few pages at Ephesians 5, the Apostle Paul spent the second half of this chapter talking about a relationship between a husband and a wife. And he said, though, in verse 32, he ended it by saying, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." He had all of these verses, all of everything he had to say about a husband and a wife. And he said, "This is what I'm talking about. Christ and the church." Everything that pertains to the physical relationship between a husband and a wife spiritually illustrates Christ and the church. And that's how it is with the entire Word of God. Everything that it has to say, everything in the Scripture, period, all of the instruction, and this is very important, all of the instruction, we read all of this instruction, all of the correction, all of the rebukes, everything is in light of, and it illustrates Christ and the gospel of his salvation. Now, the same thing can be said for the verses we're going to look at this morning. If you go back with me to Colossians 3, verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged." Now, before we talk about those who are teenagers and younger, let's acknowledge the fact that the word children translates offspring. That's what the word means. Offspring. Although we have terms that generally describe how old a person is. We talk about babies. We talk about toddlers. We talk about kids, teenagers, young adults, elders. We have terms that generally describe how old a person is, and we go from one stage to another. But we never stop being an offspring. Never. Even though we have that, we never stop being an offspring. My father's about to turn 70 this year. But he still has four children. I'm the oldest. I'm 42. But I'm still his child. I'll never stop being his offspring. So what we just read applies to me. All right? Everything that we just read in that verse, it applies to all of us. We are all the children of somebody. And if our earthly parents are gone, we're still the children of our Heavenly Father. All right, so let's look at this first in light of ourselves. Over in 1 John chapter 3, if you want to turn with me there, it says in 1 John 3, verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and if it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." What a glorious thought that is. Such a glorious thought. I want to be a child of the Father. I know you do too. We want to be children of the Father, joint heirs with Christ. That's the goal. That's the desire. Joint heirs with Christ. Well, with that in mind, go back to our text in Colossians 3. And it says in verse 20, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord." The attitude that this verse is teaching and commanding is, "Not my will, but thine be done." And where have we heard that? "Not my will, but thine be done." That is the heart and the attitude of all of this instruction that he's given here. Putting on all of this kindness and this mercy. When he says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husband," what that means is, "Not my will, but thine be done." It's that attitude of humility that he tells all of his people to put on. Kindness, meekness, patience, forbearing. When he says, "Husbands, love your wives," that is a willing heart that says, "I care about you. I care about your happiness. I care about your well-being. I willingly say," a husband will willingly say, "Not my will, thine be done." Spiritually speaking, concerning Christ, our husband, and God, our Father, only his will is going to be done. Only his will is going to be done. But he makes himself so lovely to his people. He makes himself so lovely to his bride. He makes himself so lovely to his child. His will becomes their will. That spirit of Christ is in the bride. That spirit of Christ is in the child. And of that same spirit, they say the same thing to each other. One spirit, one mind. They willingly submit to the desire and the needs of the other, having no difference in their own desire. The example and the proof of that is Christ and his Father. The Lord Jesus Christ and the Father. God the Father and God the Son. If you look with me at John chapter 5, John 5, verse 19. "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." He said in verse 30, "I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me." If you look at John 6, verse 38, he said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me." And what was the Father's will? What was the Father's will when He sent His Son? Verse 39, "This is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day." It was His will that that cup of suffering that Christ would drink for His people on the cross, it was His will that that cup not pass from Him. All that the Father gave to Him, He would lose nothing and would raise them all up in the last day. Does this mean that the Father's will was different from the Son's will? One had to give up their will for the other one. Absolutely not. Christ said, "For this cause came I into the world." That's the whole reason I came. He said, "I and my Father are one. One mind, one will, one purpose." But in acknowledging each other, Christ acknowledged His Father and the Father acknowledged the Son. And in doing that, it reveals this mutual love that they have for each other, this love and this respect and this submission that they have to each other. The Father said concerning Christ, His Son, He said, "This is my beloved." I want you to hear Him. Hear Him. The Father said, "Every knee is going to bow to Him." The Father said, "Whoever does not honor Him does not honor me and cannot honor me." The Father said to the Son, "Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever." It's your throne. It is your word. It's your authority. It's your judgment. And in that we see this mutual love, this mutual desire that the Father and the Son have for each other. If they have that in glory, and if we are going to have that with them in glory, then may we strive to have that here right now. Go with me back to Colossians 3. Concerning us, toward our Heavenly Father, what He commands of us. Verse 20 says, "Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Shall we sin that grace may abound?" God forbid. God forbid. These things that He has to say to us, He said in this very chapter, He said, don't commit fornication. Shall we sin that grace may abound? God forbid. You know, we can argue, well, I'll never get it out of my mind. I'll do it in my mind. I'll do it in my heart. Yeah, that's true. But that's no excuse to physically commit it in the body. Just because it will never leave what is in us by nature, that's no excuse. He said in this very chapter, don't be angry. Don't be angry. Put off anger. He said, don't speak blasphemy. Don't use the Lord's name in a vain way. He said, don't have filthy communication. Don't have a filthy mouth. He said in verse 12, be kind, be forgiving, be merciful toward people. This is a direct commandment to us. Children, obey your parent. Obey your parents. Strive and try to obey everything that our Heavenly Father has to say to us. Now, concerning us to our earthly parents in the flesh, our God says, children, obey your parents in all things. But He gives one stipulation to that in Ephesians chapter 6. If you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians 6 verse 1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. Obey your earthly father as long as he is in agreement with your heavenly father. in chapter 4, he said, there's one God and one Father of us all. There's only one Father that we ultimately bow to. And if our earthly Father is not in agreement with our heavenly Father, then there's no decision that needs to be made. There's no fork in the road on who we're going to obey, who we're going to bow to. Peter said, we ought to obey God rather than men. But if our earthly Father does not command something that is contrary to the heavenly Father, then he said right here in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. Honoring our parents is something that's very well pleasing to the Lord. That's what he said about it, no matter what age we are. Okay, go with me back to Colossians 3. Now, concerning our young children, we know that they are not prone to obeying their parents. I'm very thankful for the fact we have a lot of young children in this congregation. We have a lot of young children, and me included, we have a lot of, and you may not agree, but young parents. We have a lot of young parents. I say me included, but they are not prone to obeying us. They are not prone to obeying their parents. We will all find that out. We can tell them that they should. If they did not have sin for a nature, all right, if they weren't completely eaten up with sin, then it might set in with them and they might actually, if they didn't have sin for nature, they would. We would say, you need to obey me. And they would. They didn't have sin for nature. The fact is, though, just like us, just like me, and just like you, sin and rebellion is what they are. I know they're pretty. But sin and rebellion is what they are. It's what they were conceived in. That's what David said in Psalm 51. As soon as they can start talking, they will speak lies. They come forth from their mother's womb speaking lies. There is no reasoning with sin and rebellion. There's no reasoning at all. The only way that a sinful child is going to be taught to obey is he or she must be disciplined into it. Must be. Our Lord disciplines his children. Whom the Lord loves, he chastens. Who he loves, he chastens. And according to the commandment of God, we must do the same thing to our children and for our children. This is where applying this to us first comes into play. This is the whole reason we apply it to ourselves first as children of the Heavenly Father. If we are going to be obedient children of the Heavenly Father, then we must discipline and we must instruct our children as he has commanded us to do so. This starts with us. We must be obedient. It starts with our obedience to him. Now, how has he commanded us to discipline our children? He said in verse 21, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. God's recorded method of discipline. And I want to be very clear here. I want to be very deliberate in what I say. I want to be very true to God's word. And you'll see why I'm saying this here in just a second. The recorded method of God's discipline is, in his exact wording, it's the rod. That's what he calls it. The rod. We today call it spanking. that is not socially acceptable anymore. You're not going to hear hardly anybody say that. People are afraid to say that. It's considered cruel. Nowadays it is. It wasn't back when. You know, up through, for every generation, up to, honestly, the 70s or the 80s, or it wasn't. But today, many people believe that it's going to cause harm to a child. They believe that it's going to cause psychological harm, damage, you know. And many consider it to be abuse. And it's commonly talked about in that way. It's commonly taught that that's what it is. The reason it's taught that way is because man is so sinful, and man is so wicked, and man is so hard, and man is so rebellious, man abused the authority God gave to him. And he made an excuse out of it to take his anger out on his child. That is not why God gave us this commandment. Not at all. That is not God's instruction. And the man who does that, God will deal with that man. God will. He said, vengeance is mine. He will deal with it. But just because man has abused God's instruction, that does not mean we as his children can throw it out. We cannot throw it out. For our children's sake, we ought to and we must obey God rather than men. We cannot listen to, we cannot follow the contradictory instruction, contradictory to the Word of God instruction of man. It's exactly like man's false religion. There's so much false religion out there. It's being taught. It's being commonly known as correct. The mindset of man's error concerning everything about God. If we listen to the mindset of the world, and if we believe and follow the mindset of the world, we will fall into the ditch with those who are set on being contrary to the Word of God. Our Lord said, those who are contrary to His Word are blind leaders of the blind. Let's not be blind. Let's not fall into their error. The world is raising children, and they are dealing with their children like they want God to deal with them. And I want to repeat that. The world is dealing with their children like they want God to deal with them. Well, why don't we just put the decision in the child's hands? Why don't we just let the child make up his own mind? Is that not free will religion? Father, you just let me run the show. They say God wouldn't chasten his children, and you shouldn't either. That's what man's religion believes. God won't punish sin, and you shouldn't either. The only people that God does not bring the rod of his correction to is those, the scripture says, that he hates. Those that he hates. Concerning those blind leaders and concerning the blind, this is what he said. Leave them all alone. They're all going to fall into the ditch. Parents, if you love your children, if you really love your children, don't leave them alone. Don't let them fall into the ditch. Don't leave things into their decision and their will. Don't let them follow what they want. We're dealing with sinful natures. That means they can only make sinful decisions. Well, let them decide. They can only make sinful, rebellious decisions. It's coming from a sinful will. The only reason we have any correct instruction is because we are looking into the Word of God. That's the only reason. People say, yeah, but I don't want to stifle them. Whatever it is they're going to turn out to be, I don't want to stifle their will. I don't want to break their spirit. All of God's children, every single one of God's children will forever in glory cry, "Thank God He did not leave me to my decision and my will." Thank God. We're thanking Him now. And we will thank Him for all eternity. Thank God He stopped me from becoming what I was so rebelliously trying to be. Thank God He broke my will and broke my spirit. And thank God He caused me in the end to say, "Not my will, thine be done." Thank God. When we do not discipline, and I want to stress these two words, in love. In love. When we do not discipline and teach our children in love to obey our word and obey our authority, this is what it produces. And we will see it in them. This is what it produces. No fear. That's what it produces. That's probably the most dangerous thing we could produce in our children. The summary in Romans 3 that the Apostle Paul gave concerning wicked, rebellious sin, the sin of mankind, is he said, "There is no fear of God before their eyes." No fear of His authority. No fear of His holy word. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And that fear starts with His command of disciplining our children. Now, let me show you this in the Word. I'm done. I'm going to be very brief. But to prove all of this, let me show you that this is what God has to say about it. Turn with me to Proverbs 13. Proverbs 13, the Lord used Solomon to pen this, who He called the wisest man on this earth. Proverbs 13, 24. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son." The flesh, I'm speaking from personal experience, the flesh truly does love the child. And something in the flesh says, "Well, I'd rather just spare the rod right now." This is what God says. "He that spareth his rod hateth his son. But he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." Betimes means over and over again, as many times as it takes. Parents, I'm saying this from experience. You are going to think, "Spanking doesn't work. They just keep doing it." I'm telling you, you're going to think, "Well, they just go deeper into rebellion." Stay with God's way. Just stay with God's way. Betimes, as many times as it takes, and God will bless it. That hard, rebellious will that was right inside here. "I am the man." God will bless it. Some are more strong-willed than others, and they take a little firmer discipline. Look at Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23, verse 13 says, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." If you are disciplining in love, truly from love in your heart, there are going to be times that you're going to feel so guilty. You are going to think, "All I ever do is spank them. All I ever do is discipline. All I do is fuss and get on to them. That's all I do. That's all I do, over and over." And you're going to think, "Am I being too cruel? Am I going to turn them from me? Are they going to hate me because of this?" Look at verse 14. "Thou shalt beat him with the rod, and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Do God's children, do they see his saving correction as being cruel? We, his children, do we see his saving correction as being cruel to us? God breaking the will of his people, stopping them in their tracks, turning them from their wicked ways. Not only do we not see that as being cruel, we see that as the greatest kindness he could ever show to us. It is so the opposite of, do God's people hate him for this? Oh, they love him. They love him for this. They love him for this. It will be the same for you. It'll be the same for your home if you will follow the instruction of the Lord. Let me close with a few things on actual discipline. Okay, here's just a couple of things. Number one, don't ever do it in anger. Don't ever do it in anger. If you're mad, settle down first. Wait until you have a clear mind and then discipline them in love. Love, love, love. Don't be cruel in your discipline. That's the second thing. Don't be cruel. We don't need to use guilt trips. We don't ever need to make our children feel like we're just so mad at them right now, we don't even love them. Never. Never. It should be cut and dry, plain and simple. You did wrong. Now you have to be disciplined for it. And then the third thing is, once it's over, it's over. Once it's over, it's over. If spanking is the punishment, once it's over, it's over. Once it's finished, it's finished. That's it. It's finished. Honey, learn from this. Don't do this again, or this will be the punishment you will have again. But tell them you love them. It's over. It's over. And the reason I say that is because that's what God has done for us. You read all through the scripture, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, all through the word where he says, this is what you did, and now this is the punishment that's coming to you. I will scatter you. I will this. I will that. And he said, once it's done, I will draw you to myself. I'll draw you with cords of love. I will comfort you. Tell them you love them. Tell them you love them. One more thing. When you discipline, take that opportunity to teach them that this is what God has commanded you to do. God says that this is how we are to discipline our children. And ultimately, all discipline comes from him. Tell our children that. We all obey him. In doing this, we're just bowing to him. As he has disciplined us in love, through that discipline, he has provoked us to love. Let's do the same thing. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Do it, but do it in love, lest they be discouraged. And children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. All right, you're dismissed.